Hi, I'm Bianca LaRue.
And I'm Jen Brooks.
And
this is...
We always screw this part up. Every time.
Here, I'll say, and this is, and we'll go, Baby in the Wings.
I don't think we should do that. I think you should just say Baby in the Wings, and then we should introduce Shelley Western.
I wanted to choreograph some vocal... Okay, here we go.
No.
Start again.
Hi, I'm Bianca LaRue.
And I'm Jen Brooks, and this is Baby in the Wings. And you are back for part two with Shelley. Shelley Western is back because we didn't finish what we started.
Yay, I'm so excited to be back.
Our questions are really focused on your coaching and exactly what integrative health is. So can you...
Wait, before we do that, just if you're listening to this episode and you haven't listened to Shelley Western part one, go back and listen to Shelley Western part one.
We got it.
So that you can get the whole background.
Yes.
But Shelley is a fit model, an integrative, integrative health coach. Yes. I wanted to make sure I said it right.
Yes.
And a mom.
Yes.
So. Okay.
How old are your littles? Because you have
We have two boys. Yeah. He's 13 and 7. So my 13-year-old is now taller than me.
And so crazy.
I am unwell about that. It's just.
Because you're tall.
I am. I'm almost 5'9". So like he's at least 5'10".
Oh my gosh.
And I'm just like, what? And it's like, you know, when they're so little and everyone's like, the time goes by so fast. And you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like you're like in the thick of craziness, postpartum, everything, and you're just like, whatever. But I'm like, oh shoot, they were right.
It is so true.
So yeah, so you know, there's 6 years difference between them, so like I try to just cherish every moment that I can, you know.
Yeah.
with our 7-year-old. But then it's like, on another note, you know, it's like, show him the independence that, you know, he needs to learn and grow from too. So yeah,
I'm working on that one with my 10-year-old. He'll still be like, Mama, can you do this? I'm like, you are big. You can do this. I'm not carrying your bag anymore. Like, you're almost stronger than I am. Carry your things. So, yes.
My 2-year-old is stronger than I am.
Well, he's the size of a 3-year-old, and Jen is like, and you're pint size.
Yeah, my dad was 6'7", so I don't know what's happening.
We both went...
We'll talk in like a couple years. I'll keep you posted.
Oh, my
God. As
years go on, you know, like, what's going to happen? But... It's awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, like just to like, you know, we're so blessed, you know, like just to see our kids grow and to evolve in their own way and, you know, their own personalities. And it's been a huge blessing. But to go back to your question. So, yes, I'm an integrative nutrition health coach. So I went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. That's where I got my certification for being a health coach. And I can't remember if we talked about this, like the health coaching in our part one specifically, but, you know, it's just an interesting ride with that too. It was like, you know, I was really into all the health and wellness field and on my own, you know, and I was like, you know what? I want to, you know, spread this message of eating healthy, right? I'm going to get certified. I want to help people. And then I quickly realized like how much more there is to health than just eating kale and broccoli.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it gets way deeper than just what we eat. Yes, of course, the nutrition that we have and nourish our bodies with is important, but there's so many other layers to it. You know, like, are you moving through your nutrition throughout the day with an added layer of guilt or shame for what you're eating? Do you feel this constant need that you have to burn off all these calories that you're eating? Are you punishing yourself with exercise? Like, do you have a distorted, you know, relationship with movement? You know, do you have, how's your social life? You know, what's your spirituality look like? You know, your sleep, your stress management, just your creativity, you know, just that level of joy in your life, your friendships, you know, there's so many different layers when it comes to health. You know, it's been interesting working with clients. I mean, yes, we definitely touch upon nutrition, but a lot of it, like a lot of my calls today have just been like recognizing these certain patterns in their life that they're understanding aren't serving them. And the reason why they're here, you know, to work together is to better themselves. They want to feel better in their skin. It's not necessarily all about losing weight. It's just like, I deserve to feel good, and these habits that I'm doing aren't making me feel good. How can I look at them with some compassion? Like, oh, you know what? I used to do those things, or, you know, I used to react like this, and it made me feel awful. It made my family feel awful. Like, how can I recognize these behaviors and do better next time? And it's just all so interconnected, you know, finding that true health for yourself.
It's really like, holistic combined with lifestyle approach.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Jen and I have been talking about that a lot lately, just because we actually got to see each other in person a little bit ago, which was so nice. Shadun Maher. And we played a lot, and I was Elmo at her son's birthday.
It blew his tiny mind.
He must have been like, what?
Get yourself a best friend who will dress as Elmo for your tier.
Yes. That's the level we want. There's the standard. There's your baseline.
It was so fun. He was so cute. But we were talking, like, we had a lot of time to actually, like, catch up and talk about the stuff that we never get to when, you know, we're running around and, like, have the kids in the background or whatever. And that was a huge part of the conversation. It was not just, like, how we were, we both wanted to make changes in our nutrition and everything, but also just that, like, what we wanted to prioritize was the feeling good, because that had been kind of secondary in all the times where we were really pushing, like, for Jen to look like a dancer, for me to get skinny enough for to be on camera, to, you know, all these things that you think are going to make you feel good and feel healthy that actually were making us feel crazy and awful at times. And it's a totally different experience. And that's something I know I've been working on, is just kind of like recognizing the feelings that come up when, and like how I want to use food to fix them, by either depriving myself or stuffing my face with stuff, because, like, you know, so it's just, it's been interesting really, like, seeing the different levels of what nutrition means. Because like you said, it's not just, am I eating enough kale? It's like, it's so loaded for so many of us. And I think most women at this point.
Yeah, because it's like the mindset that you go into your nutritional habits matters the most for me, like on my health journey, when I was moving into, you know, that health and wellness, and I'm going to eat all this. And, you know, I was following what every single influencer, you know, health influencer on social media was doing. And I was like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. And that, at the end of the day, I was like, I'm literally eating just like vegetables. That's it. Like, cause it was like, fruit has too much sugar. Gluten's the devil. Sugar, you know, like, it literally, it's like every single thing, like, what's freaking left? Like, literally spinach. And I was like, no, that can be tough on your stomach. You know, it's like every single thing had some rule around it, where I literally got down to a point where I was so malnourished and so, like, it was awful, you know. But in my mind, I was like, oh, but I'm doing what all these health, you know, influencers say you should be doing. And I felt like absolute garbage. And then, you know, there's only so long that you can live like that. I mean, I don't even consider it living. It was awful. Yeah. Like, and, you know, then you get to this point where, like, screw it, I'm going to eat whatever. And then you feel like crap, you know, because your body's like, dude, like, can we have some balance here in our life? Yeah. Like, you know, and unfortunately it sucks, you know, hitting that, like, dieting rock bottom. Right. But in a way, it was kind of a blessing, you know, because I feel like if you don't hit that wall and hit that bottom, like, you're like, you know, it's only up from there. You know what I mean? If you constantly live in this, like, zone where you're just like, no, I have to restrict, I have to deprive myself, I can't eat this, I shouldn't eat that, I feel guilty, you're never gonna get out of that mess, you know, unless you, like, literally have to break through, smash that ceiling, and, like, I'm out, enough, I'm out, I don't want to do this anymore.
So this triggered a memory of yesterday when Bianca talked and
yesteryear.
Hey, that's a feat for mom.
I know.
I remember what happened yesterday.
Yes.
We were both talking about, and we want your opinion, we're going to drop in little, like, myth-busting things for you, or not necessarily myth, but we want to know your opinions.
Yeah.
Because both of us tried Noom for a hot second, and both of us hated it.
Yeah.
Like, I tried it for, like, a day, mostly because I was like, oh, I want like a...
I tried it for 4 months, still hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I basically like Googled like, what's a really good like food and fitness tracker? Because I just wanted somewhere to write down that I didn't have to carry a notebook and just sort of like be mindful about what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was like Noom. So I went in, I got the app and of course they took me on a journey of answering questions that I was like, what the hell? And then they tried to sell me all these plans, but I finally got through to the free plan and I felt like they were already making me feel crazy.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, I'll log this in. This is interesting. But I felt like they were very much pushing the vegetarian agenda, which is fine for some people. I don't have a problem with it. But I was literally like, I just had an egg bite because I was on the run with my kid.
Yeah.
And I figured, okay, that's a great protein, right? On the run.
Of course.
Like, and it put it down at like the bottom level of like, well, this is going to go into the orange category because it's high in this and low in that. And I was like, what the fuck? I can't have an egg bite?
Yeah. Yep.
So I quit after a day because I was like, fuck this.
Yes, exactly.
And okay. Bianca said she had the same experience, only she did it for longer. She's like, I hated this.
I tried really hard and I realized that while I'm sure it works for some people and I never, you know, I'm not dogging anything that other works for other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I realized for me having numbers to hit or to like to stick to made me insane. So then when I would see like I'd go into the red for my calories when I would go over and you're it like, would huh? give that's exactly what I was like, fuck, like I excuse me. So I'd be like, oh, like I screwed up. Like and I kept feeling like
a failure. I couldn't do good enough today.
Exactly. And I realized that and you know, I bought in, I read the articles and stuff, and I was just like, I think I'm a little too cynical. Maybe I've just lived in New York for too long, but I'm like, I don't need you to high-five me online and tell me that I'm an expert or like, you know, listen to your stupid little jokes. Like, am I learning what I need to learn? Like, I just, because that was another thing that like I felt was always missing in any time that I would try a diet, it's that like I didn't actually know why I was doing the things that I was doing. Like, why am I getting this much protein? Why am I sticking to this many carbs? Why is it this many calories? Like, everything felt like I didn't understand. And then Noom just confused me more and made me feel guilty. And I was like, I'm done.
Yeah. Yes.
So what are your feelings on like things like Noom?
Well, that's such a good question. Okay. So I hear both sides because I do have some friends that actually thrive on it. Like it's kind of like this kickstart for them. They don't do it for long, but it just kind of helps them keep track when they are feeling kind of out of control with everything. And they like it. I personally hate it. I don't offer it. I don't suggest it. I don't suggest any sort of like giving foods a red, yellow, you know, green color. I don't like any of that stuff. Yeah, tracking macros, calories. I think that the bottom line with a lot of that, when you're tracking your calories, your carbs, your macros, it's just taking away that intuitive sense of you trusting your body again, you know? And when you've been chronic dieting for so long, for someone to say, oh, just listen to your body, it's you're like, wait, what? Like, you make it sound so easy, but it's so hard because you've been told for so long, like, you shouldn't be hungry at this time. It's too early. Oh, you shouldn't be eating this late. It's too late, you know? And so you've been told to suppress and ignore all these cues that your body's telling you, right? And the only way that I've found for myself and my clients to turn those signals back on, the hunger and fullness, is to start like eating more. I know that sounds really scary, again, like when you come from a dieting background, but when you start eating enough, your body starts to feel safe and those signals start to turn back on, you know, like I now wake up hungry, like an old former dieting self, I would be scared out of my mind. Like, no, what? It's 6 a.m. You shouldn't be hungry. You have to intermittent fast for 16 hours, you know? So it's like, you know, but honestly, the intermittent fasting rules, like, but there's the thing. It's all these rules, right? They stick. And they think like, oh no, it'll be a lifestyle. And you're like, no, I feel so consumed with all these rules. I can't even live my life. Like, gosh forbid, like, at work, you know, somebody has a surprise birthday party. Those surprise things would freak me out. I'm like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I gotta hide because everybody's eating cake and pizza. And I'm so scared. I'm not allowed to eat that. And I'm sitting on the wall like, are you sure you're not hungry? I'm like, no, I'm fine. As I'm like dying inside, you know. You know, it's like those moments though you're not even able to enjoy with your friends or your family. And I'm not saying that you have to have cake and pizza to enjoy your company, but I'm just saying that those moments of connection, you know, sometimes get overruled when you have all those rules floating around and the colors on what food you can eat. And oh my gosh, I've already gone over my limit today. And it just gets so scary. And it can feel so disconnected from your body even more.
And sometimes it feels like there's no forgiveness in it, because it's like you can't forgive yourself. Not that we need to forgive ourselves for like having the cake, but there's no like, it feels like, oh no, you screwed up. It's on record. If you don't record it, you're lying to yourself and you're not going to reach your goal. So like, it's either you make up for it, like by not eating for the rest of the day or whatever it is, or you have it on record in your chart on this app or whatever that you screwed up that day. And it
blows my mind, right? This diet industry, right?
Yes.
It's the most genius marketing. It's like 95% of the time, this is going to fail, but I'm going to make you feel like the failure. And I'm going to be making $72 billion a year off of you.
It's so crazy.
Security.
And we talked about that yesterday too. I was like, it's all capitalism and consumerism and like, they're just making a buck off us. And how do we find the truth?
Exactly. Yeah.
We talk to people like Shelley. That's how we find out the truth.
I feel like the truth is, and when I say the truth about nutrition and fitness and like what's the balance. And I feel like it's so different for each person. So like when you talk about intermittent fasting and keto and all these things that people try, like for me, I did the whole Beachbody portion control thing, which I actually really liked because you weren't counting. It was just sort of about being mindful. And I'd love your opinion on that later. But like, I just liked it because I'm like, okay, I can just sort of assess like, I need more vegetables today, or I haven't had any protein. Oh my God. Like, but I liked that it felt a little more, I mean, I'm sure you could get crazy about that too, but I didn't feel crazy doing that because I was just like, oh, this is great. I just kind of know like, you know, where I need to fill the gaps because I didn't eat a vegetable today.
Sure that you're eating enough, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing that I think. So I also, my best friend, she is into the, now it's called Body, the Beach Body, you know, and, you know, I think that that shift too was kind of like I think they realized like, you know, Beach Body is kind of, anyway, smart to make that shift. But anyways, I think that it's still kind of the same, protocol as far as like their gut resets and their portions. Yeah. You know, it was like the colored containers.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and so she thrives off of it, you know, and she's got six kids. Like she's, you know, it's like, it's her business. It's her life.
Well, and yeah. The funny thing is like the containers were super helpful for like the first week or two. Cause I'm like, oh, I can see what a healthy portion looks like.
Yeah.
And then I just started eyeballing it. I was like, I don't need to measure it. I can just be like, oh, that looks about like the right amount. And like, so I did like that. But like, I think it's important for people to keep in mind when they dive into any kind of diet thing is like, they're not all fit for all people. I think there's a lot of normal everyday people who are not fitness gurus or whatever, or industry, movie, TV, film people out there trying these diets that are really meant for certain kinds of fitness levels. Like, yes, okay, maybe this diet makes sense if you're trying to be a bodybuilder.
Yes.
This diet makes sense if you're training for a marathon, but none of these are like sustainable as a way of living.
Yeah, I hate the blanket statements. Like everybody should be doing this. Everybody should be eating this. I am a huge advocate for bioindividuality. Everybody, you know, some people can handle dairy. Some people are like, my stomach is going crazy. I cannot have dairy. You know, it's like, fine. Am I going to say like, why can't you have dairy? No, like it's okay. Right. It's all like finding like what works for you. And also like, you know, as we age, like different foods feel better for us. We need different, you know, nutrients. I felt in my 40s, like I need more protein. Mm-hmm, like I was strict vegan for a really long time. Was it because I was all about, you know, you know, animals and say, I definitely care about animals, but for me, it was my perfect way to hide just another diet.
Yep.
Everybody was like, oh, you're so healthy. Oh, I can never do that. And it just fueled them like, I can.
Yeah. Watch me restrict gluten and be vegan. I will eat nothing.
That's what it came down
to. I did it too. It was really awful. There were like two restaurants I could go to in all of Manhattan because my husband was like, so you don't eat this or this or this.
Yep.
Or this. And I was like, yeah. He's like, so we can go to one place. And I was like,
yes.
Sorry, I'm trying to be healthy and I care about the piggies. And he's like, yes. You love bacon. What are you doing?
I had an ex, I couldn't even tell you what diet it was, but I had an ex that was doing this weird diet where it was like, there was days that's like, today is nut day. And all I do is eat nuts today. And then there was like, there was meat day, meat or meat and cheese. And I don't, it was weird. And so I remember very clearly we had gone out to see a friend's like music show and we were down on 46th Street in the, you know, restaurant row.
Yeah.
And there was nothing he could eat on the menu. And I was like,
hence
okay, like I was trying to be supportive of like whatever you're doing because that helps, right? Yeah. When you're like, it's hard when your partner isn't supportive.
Yes.
But there was nothing he could eat. And he was obviously hangry.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there with two friends. And I was just like, why don't you just ask for a side of steamed broccoli or something? And he's like, it's not broccoli day.
Oh,
I don't think your diet's going to be derailed if you have some steamed vegetables.
But when you're in it, you think that that's it, right? It's crazy. Like, so yeah. I was like cleaning out this old purse that I found in the closet. And I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't used this in years. Pulled out a receipt. First thing, asparagus. I remember the restaurant. I think it was like Rue 57, like on 57.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago. It just said asparagus and then a burger. And I was like, honey, we went out to dinner and all I got was asparagus. And he's just like, I mean, yeah, that's what you did all the time. And he's like, I felt so bad all the time, you know? And then I'm like, are you done with your fries? Like, I'm like sitting there hoping that he wouldn't finish his fries, you know?
Yeah, it's so crazy when you look back at like how much you bought into that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I know there was crazy stuff.
150%.
I read the book Skinny Bitch.
You read that? Me too.
Yeah.
That completely, that's when I became a vegan. And
yes, that was very vegan pushing and like totally. It made me stop having Red Bulls because of the aspartame thing. They were very
gosh. Well, not only did it like make me vegan, but also I was like, I remember one of the suggestions was do not eat in the morning until you're so hungry. So I wouldn't eat. And then they were like, then have an apple because it's like acidic and it's going to like mess up your belly basically. No. Yeah. And then they were like, all skinny girls run. I ran a half marathon. I was so skinny and I was eating, I was eating baby pouches of food. Like I was eating those squeeze packs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think about it now and I'm like, I get hungry when I walk up and down the stairs. Cause like, I'm just running around all the time up and down the stairs in this house or at work or whatever. I can't believe that I actually sustained training for a half marathon on baby food.
On nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, it's like your mindset going into these things. Like you brought up a good point, like that with like the Beachbody things, like you just wanted to make sure you're eating enough, right? Like eating enough vegetables, eating enough protein and kind of getting a gauge of like, how much do I need? You know, cause when you've been dieting for so long, you always kept thinking less, 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 I don't need enough. But then when you start to realize like, oh, I actually need more. It's not necessarily, right? Like it's like, and people,
I do. I have days where I'm like, I haven't eaten anything. I need to eat something.
I need to eat, right? And it kind of helps you to like get on track and start to, and there's that, you know, that safety that we start to build with our body when you have this consistent nutrition. Like that's why I'm a huge advocate for making my lunch. Like I, you know, not only is it like saving money in the city because we know how expensive.
Oh my
like,
God.
I had to get a salad and I put salmon on it. It was $24.50. I'm like, what? I asked the girl, I'm like, is it laced with gold? And she's like, cash or credit. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, never again. I'm not doing that.
Oh my
God. But I think, yeah, it's just crazy, right? But it's like, that's why I like to make my lunch. It's not only like saving money, But like, we never know what the day is going to bring, right? Like, you know, meeting comes up, appointment comes up, train is delayed, whatever. And it's like, at least I know that I've got my nourishment down. And it's, I don't go into it with the mindset of like meal planning and I can only have this amount of carbs. It's basically like me showing my body, you know what, I care about you. I want to make sure that you're nourished. I want you to feel safe. And I want you to feel sustained and satisfied throughout the day. So I'm going to throw in some extra snacks too, because our hunger levels vary each day too, right? Like some days, like you said, you're like, I wasn't really that hungry. Oh my gosh, I need to eat. And then some days you're like, I am freaking starved. Like after you eat everything, you know what I mean? It's just like, and I think it's just honoring that and knowing, you know, every day is going to feel different and doesn't mean you're a bad person.
That's an interesting point, because something that I applied to myself when I was like, you know, when you have a baby and a toddler, in the early months, you're like, okay, well, how much milk do I need to give them? How much, what do they need? What do they need? And some of the best advice I got was from like a mom group I was in that was led by a doula. And she just said, you know, some don't freak out. Someday your kid is not going to eat that much. And then other days they're going to eat a lot, because guess what? They're not robots.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what if I applied that to myself? Like, I'm not a robot.
Yeah.
Some days I'm going to be freaking hungry. And then other days I'm like, wow, I've had like an apple and a something. And I don't feel hungry. Like, I mean, not that I'm saying you should have only an apple, but I mean, there are days where you just eat less and you're like, I don't feel the need to eat right now.
I think you're right that kids are like incredible intuitive eaters, because like I used really to awesome. Love watching my son eat ice cream, because first of all, he eats so slowly. He's so cute. Cause he really likes to enjoy his food.
Yeah.
And he has a very kind of like fancy palate ever since he was tiny. Like he loved like truffle oil and sushi and stuff, but then he won't go near fruit. It's really weird.
Okay.
So he has his things, but, he would eat a few bites of ice cream and then be like, all done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Jackson does that too.
I was like, all done. Give me your ice cream. Like, yeah. I'm like, you have to eat the ice cream. But he was like, I loved that. He was just like, I'm done. And I was like, God, that's amazing that they really just listen to, that's it, I'm good. As long as they've had other stuff before. Obviously, if I'd only fed him ice cream, he probably would have devoured the whole bowl. But he really just like, that was it. And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Look at him, honoring hunger and fullness.
And there is something to be learned from our toddlers.
Always.
It's true, right? Like, we didn't grow up, like, hating our bodies and, like, you know, feeling like crap about ourselves. Like, these are things that subliminally, you know, through social media, we were taught, you know? It's just, through family members, well-meaning, you know? You know, they say some certain things and it's just like those things stick too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's like moving through that too with a layer of compassion, right?
How do you address that, the growing up with family members? Like there's a lot of my friends out there that have some overpowering, especially moms. They have some overpowering moms who had their own disinformation and then spread it to their daughters, like, you know, don't eat that. Da 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 da. We gotta get skinny.
When you have
a client like that, how do you kind of help to reprogram if you're kind of generationally damaged?
Because it is, right? Because usually the mom that was giving that advice learned from her mom, right? Like it is generational diet trauma is what it is, and it's very real, and it can stay with us for a really long time. I personally had it as well. And, you know, I know that, you know, it wasn't like something about me now at the time. I definitely thought it was. I thought that, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough. I'm not thin enough. I was getting called names like Shelly Belly and, you know, just like stuff. Cause you know, it was just really hard, you know, and it was, you know, in the 90s, which was like
the worst
full diet culture.
The Kate Moss generation.
Yes. Like I had her pictures up on my mirror, you know, when they would say, put your dream body like up on the mirror and that will motivate you, you know, and I'm passing out at my basketball games, you know, and I, you know, I'm taking, you know, diet pills. I've probably taken the whole CVS diet aisle. Like, do not recommend.
Zero. Oh, and back when what? Ephedrine was still in everything.
Yep. Just, oh my gosh, you know, and it was just like, you know, now as I've healed and I've been able to look at, and this is what I help my clients do too, like how can we look at the things that have happened to us with some compassion for ourselves, for the choices that we've made, but also for those people that have said those hurtful things. You know, where can we find some compassion and forgiveness for them? Because they truly were doing the best that they could with what they were taught. And it's unfortunate that this has happened, you know, decade after decade, generational, you know, through the line here. But you have a choice of it stops with you. With a lot of things, right? Like not only just diet talk and all that culture crap about body shame, you know, but it's a huge thing that we have the choice to end.
Yeah.
Here and now.
It comes down the line too, when you're in the dance world, because your instructors learn from their instructors some really old bullshit.
Yeah.
And I remember when the very first chorus line I did, I was the fat dancer on the line.
Oh my God.
Like, and I wasn't. But I was.
Yeah.
And so in between that one and the next one, I totally went on whatever ephedrine-driven, metabolite. Okay. What, that thing.
Yep.
And it was like crack. So you just weren't hungry.
My gosh, like this nonstop. Yeah.
So the first time I took it, I didn't really get that. Like I had like a little bit of a buzz and then I lost the weight. And of course I got all the compliments. The next show I did was like, you've lost so much weight. You look so great. And I'm like, oh my God, amazing. By that point I wasn't taking it anymore. But then when I felt like, oh, maybe I'll go on it again because I want to drop a little weight. That's when like I got really shaky and I freaked out and stopped. I was like, nope, nope, I don't want that. And so I haven't looked back since. And then, but, you know, I've always joked with friends, we're like, oh, that's when they put the good stuff in the
that's when they put the real drugs in there.
Real deal. Yeah.
So I have one of our questions that we had from before that kind of like is, you know, related to this. Something Jen and I have been talking a lot about and wondering, like, how it's possible. And so we are both, you know, wanting to get to a place where we feel really comfortable about our fitness level or like how we look in our clothes or whatever, you know, post pandemic, post baby, post all of those things. So what is your advice and how do you work with people who want to be happy and proud of the body that they're in currently, but have goals that are like fitness or weight related?
Yeah, like staying competitive in your industry while not being crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a good question. I mean, that is like the gold
spot
in life, right?
It's hard, right? Like, how do you balance that?
It is hard, you know, because I think you're kind of having to undo a lot of messaging of like, I should be like this. I used to look like this. I used to fit into those pants. How can I honor where my body is now? I think it's all about finding this like set point range of where your body naturally wants to be, where you have your health promoting habits in your life, right? You're finding the things that you're doing in your life that help you to feel strong, like inside and out, where you feel empowered, where you feel like you've got this like routine in your life where it helps you feel really good. And I think you have to kind of throw away the whole weight situation I like to throw it away, not think about it, but I understand like some people want to focus on intentional weight loss. And, you know, again, it goes back to that bio-individuality, like if that's something that you want to achieve, but I think it's building that foundation first of finding the foods that help you feel good, making sure that you're eating enough, you know, how is your hunger and fullness levels? Are you just like living off of iced coffee until 3 and like a celery juice? Like it ain't gonna happen. Like we don't live off of thin air, you know? And it's like coming back to like, how can I respect my body? I know that my body feels good when I move my body. So how can I find some movement that feels good? You know, like you guys definitely are very active, you know, and in this like dance world, it's like,
I am not active at all. And I used to be, and I am totally trying to find that love for it again, because that was another way I used to torture myself. And so now it's like trying to like, undo that and see it as something that I do that is good for me and makes me happy, as opposed to something I'm doing to punish myself for what I ate or to look different or be different. And I'm not quite there yet. I have resistance.
Yeah, it takes time. Honestly, it takes a lot of time to undo. I don't want to put like a timestamp on it, but it definitely took years to like find a healthy relationship with movement. Like I just recently got certified to teach this fitness class that I've been doing, and I'm so excited. I love it. Like,
I love your playlists. They're so good.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it. You're like, I'm cleaning the house.
Yeah, it was great.
So good. But like, there's no way I could have done that when I had a distorted relationship with exercise, you know, because it was like, oh my gosh, what if my body changes? Oh my gosh, is this enough? Am I doing, you know, but because I was able to take some time off, which honestly, that was one of the hardest times when I had to like give myself rest days. And, you know, I felt like I had to allow myself to rest. I was like, no, I have to run, you know. I would plan, you know, my workouts based on if we went out to eat or not. Like, it was so abusive, like my relationship with exercise, for so long that I had to like pull back, and it was so freaking scary. But it was the only way where I could find out where my body needed to be, also to like just see what I wanted. Like, do I even like running?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Me either.
I really don't. But I used to run all the time, you guys. Like, all the time. And I was like pounding my body on the pavement like a mad woman because I thought I had to run, and it was awful. Like, and I'm not saying that maybe one day I'll run, probably not. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
But I'm just,
I don't either.
I'm like, you know, but I told myself and I convinced myself so, so good that I loved it. And I used to do it all the time, and I torture myself. I can't even remember the last time I've gone for a run, you know, besides running the bases last night.
But that's fun. But that's a fun way of running.
There needs to be some fun in our life again, you know? Like, we need to move through it. Like, what can I do that makes me feel joy in my life again, you know? And squeezing into those jeans that I've been holding on to for 6 years is not bringing me joy anymore. Just because I need to get some new jeans, it doesn't mean that like I've failed or that I'm worthless or that you suck, you're lazy, you know? Like, I went through my closet. I wasn't fitting into a lot of my clothes, thankfully, because honestly, I had to just remind myself like the torture that I had to put myself through to fit into those clothes. It was honestly, like, a lot of the clothes, it was like making me sick. Like, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, because I just remembered the torture that it took to fit into them. And I took them to a consignment shop nearby. And so it's like this buy, sell, you know. So then
I
read it, and it's great. It's like, helps with, you know.
It's such a relief, too, when you drop that shit off.
Oh my gosh.
Like, goodbye.
It felt so good.
I have two dresses. I have two dresses that I've kept just because, like, they're the two that I can't, like, I need to get rid of them. I know it. And I'm just not, like, emotionally there. And I'm getting there. Like, my first step was to put them in a suitcase so I couldn't see them, because I was like, I can't look at these every day. It is so awful, because every time I'd go into my closet, I'd be like, oh, no. I don't fit into that. And it was like a constant reminder that like I wasn't that anymore. So I put them in a suitcase that was still in my closet. Now the suitcase doesn't live in my closet, and I'm like slowly just inching them out the door.
Yeah.
But I love them so much because I remember that being when I used to think like, oh, I'm skinny enough. I'm like, this is like where I need to be. Like, everyone kept saying, oh, you're going to book so much, much more now. Oh, you look great. Oh, you look great. And I just like, it's like torture. Those clothes are torture. And it's interesting because like what you were saying about like the mindset about running, I had a mantra for myself whenever I'd run, because I hate running. I hate running. Oh, I hate it. And I hate swimming. And I feel like if I ever write a memoir, it's going to be, I hate swimming and other admissions that like other people are like, oh, you do? I fucking hate it. So, yeah. I used to say, I'm a runner because I'm running. I'm running because I'm a runner. And I would repeat that to myself over and over and over again for miles. Like, it took Yeah, to convince myself I wasn't fucking miserable. I was like, that is so insane.
It's insane, right? Yeah. The things that we tell ourselves. But that's what I think, too, is a very important factor. Is like, why are we doing the things we do?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why are we wanting to do this diet? Like, why? What? Like, let's just, like, keep breaking it down. It's like, oh, because if I reach this weight, then I'll be accepted. Is that true? Is that true? You know, and like, we have to like break this down. Okay. Yes. Okay. This is true. Okay. Well, where did we learn this? You know, is that true? No, you know, and it's just like, we have to like come back to our why. And I think that, and I'm talking like a real why, not like, because I want to hit this number on a scale, you know, it's like, I want to be able to play with my kids and not get worn down, you know? I want to be able to pick up my kid, you know, if they're hurt and bring them in the house, like, or whatever, you know, it's like, I want to feel strong. I want to show my kids, you know, that movement can feel good, that we can have a healthy relationship with exercise, you know, and show them by example. I think it's finding like a deeper why you're doing the things that you do. And then that why is something that you can keep coming back to, but it's not like a superficial, you know, I want to fit into these jeans. Why? You know, we got to get deeper at why we're doing the things we do. Because sometimes we're just on autopilot, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm drinking this green juice because I'm told I'm supposed to. I'm meditating. Here's my crystals. Here's, you know, and like, you think you're doing it. You know what I mean? I'm not, you know, dissing on meditation and crystals, you know, but like, I was doing all those things and I was so unhealthy.
I diss on them. I was giving my best friend the hardest time about her sound bath the other day. And I love her. And if she's listening to this, she'll like remember this conversation. I was like, she was like, yeah. And like something about a sound bath. I'm like, well, as a mother, she doesn't have kids. I'm like, as a mother, I live in a sound hurricane. And so all those things sound awful to me. I'm like, more noise, more things around the house, like more crystals and like forgetting to charge them. And I'm like, yes. I'm out.
Them under the moon.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm out.
And then I told Bianca not to yuck someone else's yum. And she's like, oh, I yucked all over her yum.
Like, I yucked it up everywhere.
And I yucked it. Because I was like, I can't.
Oh my gosh, even my kids would be like, you really believe in those rocks? I'm like, he called me out right away. I was like, yeah. Totally.
I will admit I have some. I don't charge them. I don't do much with them. I just think they're pretty. And
that's fine.
When the mood strikes me, maybe I'll use them in a crunchy granola way. But, you know,
I have a selectively rose quartz, crunchy. I have a rose quartz roller that, like, you know, I pretend is, you know, replacing Botox. But, like, you know.
Totally.
It is like the... Well, there is some scientific stuff to the whole gua sha and like facial massage.
I
will say that.
I am a huge supporter.
But it's funny. It's just kind of like diet stuff, like meditation and crystals. Like, it's part of somebody else's mindset. And if it works for you, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because I think that's what it all comes down to, right? Is like the crystals and stuff and the meditation or the nutrition. It's all coming back to you, your needs, and taking some time for yourself, right? Meditation is a way that you can take some time for yourself and check in. With the crystals, it's a way for you, sometimes, yeah, people will hold them in their hands, and it's just like a way to like slow down and like just connect. And sometimes having those sources of like a grounding sense of, you know, with the crystals can help. I mean, great, you know what I mean? But I thought that they would magically save my, you know, anxiety and depression. And then
I also went through phases where they made me feel crazy. Like I told Bianca yesterday, I certified in mindful meditation, mostly because I just wanted the information, but I got a certification out of it. So yay. But I don't teach, but like, I really got into this putting pressure on myself to meditate daily. And I was really trying to do it in the early days of, you know, postpartum. And it was making me feel crazy. You're feeling all the things you feel when you've just had a baby. So I'm like, great, I'm on, you know, my maternity leave and I'm trying to like find myself and like figure shit out in this new body and whatever. But the pressure I was putting on myself to meditate was actually making me feel crazier.
You used to get mad when you didn't meditate. You get mad at yourself. I remember you being like, hey, I didn't meditate today. And I was like, okay.
I've been more harsh on myself about that than about like working out,
like manic meditations.
Well, I just get, I was so disappointed in myself that I couldn't carve out the time for myself. Yes. And that's important.
As a new mom. You know,
as like a mom.
And then I let it go, and I do it here and there when I can. But it's like, you know what? Nothing crazy happened when I just let it go. And I just try to find the moments when I can. Mm-hmm. And I try to be present in everyday life. Like,
that's what matters.
I'm going to be here with my kid and not on my phone fucking around over here. Like, just find it in life.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's what matters most. Yeah. You know, being present right now and not feeling like I have to be doing this, you know.
We have some other questions for you. Some myth busting.
Okay.
So something that we have both read and been told is that getting in shape is 80% nutrition, 20% working out. What are your feelings around that? Because I actually heard someone say abs are made in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That was Cassie on YouTube. No, wait. No, she said abs are made in the gym and revealed in the kitchen.
Oh, my gosh. It gets worse. I mean, the part that I'm like the in shape part, like, what does that even mean? Like, what does that mean? Right? Like, it's like, there's this like aesthetic thing that we're supposed to look like. Like, somebody could be eating the same exact thing, moving at the same exact time, and they will look completely different. Like, again, there's those blanket nutrition and, you know, movement statements that people will make that like, oh, if you just eat like this, you'll look like this. That's not true. That's why I hate those what I eat in a day videos that are always started with some ab check in a mirror. Why? You know, you're implying if you just eat like this, then you'll look like this. No, you won't.
Yeah.
Nobody,
you did.
You did. Great for you. But like, you have completely different genetics from me. You have maybe a completely different lifestyle, stress level. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many different things. And I think a lot of this, and to go back to the other question that you asked, you know, is coming back to like, what I need, like, oh my gosh, and maybe my body is going to be different than what I thought it was going to look like. And that is scary. But you know what? I need to accept this, and I want to, because I'm tired of fighting my body. Like, I don't want to fight against this wall anymore. Like, how can I find what I need?
Shelly, I had that moment yesterday.
Yeah.
Of like, maybe this is just where my body is comfortable. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like so devastated. Like, it like made me cry. And then I looked in the mirror and I was like, no, I can't be this person anymore. Like, that is upset because I don't fit into zero jeans or two jeans or whatever it is. And I like had to stand in front of the mirror and say, I really like this. I really like this. And it took effort, man. It took like full on intentional find things you love about yourself, because I was like, maybe at a healthy weight, this is just what I look like. And is that so bad? And it is so hard sometimes when you have been programmed for so long to think that's not okay.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, because there's like a grieving process, right? Of like this body grief that you have to go through.
Yes.
Of like what you thought for so long you were supposed to look like.
Yeah. Right? And letting it go. It's kind of like a breakup. It's like have to let go of like the future you expected with that person. It's kind of like the same with your body. Like, you have to let go of the future you planned to look like. Yep.
And you have to like let your body know, like, hey, you know what? I'm getting curious as to what this feels like. You know, you can look at yourself in the mirror and be like, I'm getting curious of what it feels like to accept this body, you know, and look at this cellulite and not like think that, oh my gosh, I have to go get that zapped off or whatever. Like, you know, and just be like, oh my gosh, it's so, look at these veins like in my body that I got like after pregnancy, you know what I mean? But you know what? We've got some healthy kids and that's okay. You know, and it's like, having a body gratitude practice too was a really big help for me and for my clients too, like where you just break it down really simple, like you said, you know, and finding different parts of your body throughout the day that you're so grateful for. Like, I'm so grateful I could witness that beautiful sunset. Like, thank you, eyes. You know, I'm so grateful that my arms can wrap around, you know, my child and give him a huge hug. Like, I'm so grateful for my hands holding me up in this plank. Like, good job, you know. I'm so, like, you have to really, because it is so true. Like, we're so blessed to have this body, you know, and this life. And when we're constantly beating ourselves up and thinking and telling ourselves, like, you're just not good enough, like, it really affects our whole life. It affects the way that we treat others too and show up every day. And it's over. Like, we're not doing that to ourselves anymore.
I feel like it always comes down to, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say a blanket statement, but I feel like many of us, it comes down to compare. Compare leads to despair. And it's like, I find that I move through most of my day not hating my body, not picking on myself. Like, for the most part, when I look in the mirror, I'm like, I don't think it looks bad. Actually, its curves look nice. Like, you know, it's different than, but I feel like the inner mean girl comes in when you start comparing yourself either to your former self, to Ryan Gosling, to whoever it is. Like, it kind of, like, I feel like those, the darker moments is always sort of triggered by a comparison to something.
Mm-hmm. It is the thief of joy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe if we can reprogram the not comparing or not like, yeah.
It is. It's all, again, it's all coming back to like the here and now, you know, and it's really not easy. It's really not easy because you're having to undo all those messages that we've told ourselves for so long. And so sometimes I have compassion for myself. You know what? I believe those things for 20 plus years. It's going to take some time to undo those thoughts. It's going to take some time, you know, like I had to put my full length mirror in the closet, like you were saying, hiding those dresses. I had to hide my full length mirror for years. Like, I did not want to look at myself. Like, I didn't, because I would ab check. I would check, you know, all the time. I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it. And I actually forgot about it. And then I think my son needed it for, he's like, he wanted to like check. He was wearing like a suit or something. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have the mirror. I had like dust on it. Pull it out and like clean it off. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, now it's out there and it's fine. Like, I'm good. You know what I mean? But it's like, I had to like literally remove it from my life because I knew it wasn't serving me.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know?
So okay. I do want to ask you a question about your business, because I think it's interesting and also helpful to hear kind of like how you work with people. So what's kind of like the process from like starting to work with you, and then kind of like so it's a coaching. So like, how do you coach? Like, what is, talk to me a little bit about like what the business is and like how you work with people.
Perfect. Yeah. So, I mean, usually what I'll start out with is with a discovery call with a new client. It's about like 20, 30 minutes. And we just talk about where they're at, what their health goals are, and see if we'd be a good fit to work together. Because I understand my scope of practice. I'm not going to say I can help somebody that's in an active eating disorder, you know, and, you know, isn't getting treatment. You know, but I have a network of people that I can refer them to, you know, so that discovery call is really good, not only for me to see where they're at, but for them to gain clarity of like why they're here, you know, why did they reach out for help? You know, just taking that first step is so huge, you know, on your health journey. And I totally respect that, you know, it does take a lot to reach out for help. So I honor that. If it does work out and, you know, everything goes smooth with that, I meet with my clients usually every 2 weeks for 60 minutes on Zoom. Sometimes some clients need additional support in the beginning. And so it's every week, you know, for like the first month. It just depends. I'm very individual with my coaching and meeting them where their needs are at. When I first started health coaching, it was very structured. You know, it was like, this week we're talking about digestion and this week we're talking about this. But it's like, some people are like, my digestion's fine. Like, I'm regular. You know what I mean? So it's like, why am I going to waste, you know, an hour talking about, you know, digestion, you know, when they are so stressed that, you know, they can't sleep at night. And so it's like, so we do try to touch on a lot of different areas that I mentioned when we first started talking, you know, their level of joy, their, you know, their stress, their sleep, creativity, you know, their finances. I mean, we get into spirituality, like we just really dive deep into a whole body approach. And so usually I'll do either a 3-month package or a 6-month package. I have some clients that just keep adding on 3-month packages. You know, it's all very individual, but, we'll go into nutrition for sure. You know, we kind of take a deep dive into like what their a day in the life looks like, you know, and start to get them to kind of take note of like, does that feel good for my body? There's some habits that they know they don't like it. They don't like it, but it's just been this habitual thing. And so we just, you know, get curious about it and start to find other ways that they can move through it. With some compassion and with some awareness, not with any judgment or shame. And then, yeah, so that's usually what working together looks like. And then in between the sessions too, I'm always available via text. Like I am constantly talking and, you know, sharing things with my clients, whether it's a quote that I saw or, you know, holding them accountable to for their goals. I have them set their goals. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know, I want my clients to come up with their goals. And so I hold them accountable.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds a little bit like a cross between therapy and an accountability buddy.
Yes, exactly. Totally.
And also kind of, and not, because I have opinions about life coaches, but it feels like it's not just about the nutrition part of it. It's about mm-hmm. the whole experience and the whole person, which I think that is another part of diet culture, is that it's so one piece of your life. And so that's part of like feeling like a failure. That's part of not being able to sustain things. That's part of, you know, I'm sure there are some diets that are perfectly healthy that are great, but if it doesn't fit into your life, there's no way to sustain that.
Exactly. It's like when you're going into something like Noom or keto or whatever, right? Let's say you're doing it. Can I do this for the rest of my life? Am I really going to be doing this when I'm 82 years old? No, you're not. Like, let's look at like these countries, you know, where they have these blue zones throughout the earth, like where these, you know, people are living 100 plus years old. Like, you know, you think they're like, you know, doing certain diets all day, every day? No, like they have a sense of community within their life. They have, you know, these natural ways that they move throughout the day, you know, whether it's in a garden or walking around the neighborhood, you know, it's not like this punishment with exercise, you know, and they're eating the bread and they're having their chocolate and their wine and, you know what I mean? And the white rice. And, you know, I think it's just all the sustainable, realistic, balanced approach. And it's finding what works for you. And a lot of it can be things that you told you were not supposed to do for so long, but that's okay. Like, you're going to find that, you know what though? I feel my best. And that's what matters most. I feel my best when, you know, I'm having the bread. So that's okay. You know?
I have a question. To kind of wrap up into that, I guess what is your advice, or I don't know if it's advice, but I think a hard obstacle for a lot of people, especially after having kids, is you have all these outside influences. So you can be focused, you can be driven, but then, you know, you've got the kids and they're eating what they're eating. And some people don't have a partner that's on board with them. Not that they're unsupportive, but it's like, yeah, you're going to sit down and you're like, I'm trying to reconfigure my lifestyle and approach to nutrition and like this holistic thing. And like, what do you do when your partner's just not there with you, or maybe just not on board, or is supportive, but also is gonna derail you at the time?
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a good question, because I think you got to take care of yourself. And like, you know, right? Like, I mean, we can't, in as much as I don't want to say like, then make two meals, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever, or they're gonna eat what they're gonna eat and you are gonna focus on what you're eating. I think there might be able to be some sort of middle ground, you know, like sometimes, you know, my kids want, let's say, chicken nuggets, fries, and broccoli or whatever. I don't feel like having the chicken nuggets and fries. Like, whatever. Like, we've already had it too many times this week. Like, I'm kind of over it, you know? So what I'll do is I'll take, like, we'll make enough broccoli for everybody, you know? And, like, Dave and I will have, like, this, like, breaded fish thing and some potatoes and the broccoli. Like, sometimes, yes, there is two meals-ish being made, meaning thrown in the air fryer altogether. But I just want to make it as simple as possible. Like, I don't want to, like, overwhelm, you know, especially as a new mom, you know, and you're, like, trying to find some balance with it. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed with, like, having to make separate meals, but it's like, maybe is there a compromise here? Like, is there something that you like and that I like that we could make together, whether it's just a side dish even, or some sort of veggie, you know? And, you know, that's a really good question. That is so...
Is there like a mindset or like something that you can kind of like do for yourself? Because obviously at the end of the day, you are responsible for your own actions. So you're like, if I want to stick to my routine and what I'm doing, that is, I can't, I think lots of us, especially in postpartum days where you're feeling a little bit,
a little cuckoo. Yes.
It's really easy to get mad at other people in the house when you're like, I'm trying to do this and no one's supporting me. I'm trying to meditate right now. But yeah, like if you find yourself going into that, I'm about to be mad at my partner or my roommate or my whatever that's derailing me. Like, what's something that we can do to sort of like take a beat and be like, I'm focusing on me and this is...
I think too, it's like, you know what, like he's honoring his body or he or she's honoring her body and I'm honoring mine. Like, you know, mm-hmm. And like, I think it's like taking away the resentment of them not meeting you where you want them to be. You can communicate like, hey, honey, you know what? I'm really trying to, you know, eat some more color vegetables and fruits, you know, like, what do you like? Like, is there certain things that you like? Oh yeah, honey, I like corn. I like carrots, broccoli. Okay, sweet. So do I. Let's start to share some of these things or whatever. It could be, you know, anything. I think it's allowing them to honor their needs too, you know, mm-hmm. And in doing so, like, they'll notice like you're doing the same for yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's like marriage advice. That's like all encompassing. Right? That is
a great, that's a great answer. Just kind of like it's you do you and me do me, but like in a very like mindful way. Yeah. Like, okay, you're doing what you feel you need to do for you. I don't need to push what I'm doing on you.
Yeah, no judgment. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Kind of take the judgment off and also like the compromise of like finding ways and certain foods that you guys can meet in the middle. So then you guys are both happy.
And communicating that, because I think...
Yes, yes.
I think it's easy to get trapped.
When you like feel like they're not listening to me or they don't care about me and they don't mm-hmm. see my goals and I'm trying to reach and I'm trying to do better. You know, and it's like, well, do they know, you know,
yeah.
Like, let's communicate that and share, get them involved yeah. in the journey.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
I know. I love this.
That was a great answer.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad we came to it together.
Yeah. It's life advice.
Yes, totally.
I think there are many of us that the first instinct is to blame an outside source.
Totally.
Oh, I couldn't do this today because this happened. And especially yes. when you're a parent, it's really easy to be like, yes. He was a lot today. I had to take care of him so I didn't get to my workout. And like, I think it's good to remind yourself to, I don't know, just keep that in check a little bit and be like, you know what? Everyone's on their own journey.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to carve out this time, it's on me.
Mm-hmm.
And if part of that is letting it go for today, because you know what? It was a hard day. Let it go. Nothing yeah. bad is going to happen.
You know what's yeah. so funny? I have found so much freedom recently in I don't want to. I never mm-hmm. allowed myself to say that about anything my entire life. I'm not going to go to this event because I don't want to.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And like some days I don't want to move as much as I do other days. I just want to relax on the sofa for the 5 minutes that I have by myself. And that's okay. And like, it's like learning that no is an answer and yeah. a complete answer. And yeah. then like, and really like for me right now, what I'm trying to do is looking at when, you know, I'm trying to like at least get in walking enough each day, like trying to like hit enough movement. Like I got myself an Apple Watch and I'm like, I want to stand up every hour because I have a desk job now. And it really changed how much I moved around. It was like shocking. I didn't realize how much I moved before. So that's one thing that I'm trying to do. And the days that there's some days where I'm like, no, I don't want to. And that's going to be okay today. And then the other days when I'm resistant, am I resistant because like it's inconvenient or whatever, like just not giving myself an excuse, but also allowing myself to not have to do something has been, I feel like it makes me want to do it more than if I'm forcing myself to do things I don't want to do when I don't want to do them.
Yes, like so true.
There's something that I did recently, like because I'm kind of on that journey of figuring out like what's actually great for my body and what's not serving me. I went to one of those places where you can have like all of your blood work done to find out like what vitamins you're deficient in. That was incredibly eye-opening as well.
Yeah, right? When you get those reports back, you're like, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, in some ways I was shocked at like what wasn't enough. And in other ways, because I had that idea that I have to be this BMI, this, like, you know, all these like statistics, I was so much healthier than I thought. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not dying because I eat bread. Yeah, I'm not dying because I'm not a size 2. Like, I'm not
running every single day nonstop.
Yes, because like everyone who I think of as healthy is that.
Yeah.
And then like when I got these things back, they were like, no, the way that like you're eating is doing really well. These levels are great. Here's where you're deficient. And this is how we can fix that by these vitamins. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not killing myself by... Yeah, it was like a huge relief because I was expecting for all of my levels to be wrong, for like my thyroid to be broken. I was like, you know, everything was bad. And I was like, oh my God, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Yeah. Like, it must be really liberating because right? Now you can move through the day and go like, I can move because I want to.
Yes.
Not because I'm forcing myself because I think I'm unwell.
Yes. And that's what it was. I saw myself as unhealthy because I wasn't fitting into those pants. I wasn't that BMI. I wasn't that.
Compare.
Yes, exactly. And it was such an eye opener that no, I'm respecting myself right now. And like all the little things that I can do to better myself are really managing stress. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest one.
It really is.
What's that test called? I want to do it.
There's two. There's one called Modern Age that's in New York, and then there's one called Inside Tracker that my friend out in Portland did.
Do you have to go in or can you?
You have to go. Yeah, it's blood work. So you have to. I'm sure they have them in Marin.
Everywhere.
But it's the managing stress that you've mentioned a couple times and sleep. Those were the two main things. They were like, these are things that if these are off, everything's off. And I never really thought of that.
It's true. Because like, if you're not getting good enough sleep, you're not going to feel motivated to take care of yourself. That, you know, there's also hunger hormones that get thrown off. And it's like, it's true. Like, I know when I don't sleep well, like all I want is like French fries and I want everything's beige, like when I'm tired. I don't care. Like I'm just, and it's fine. Like it's like having compassion. It's like, okay, I just didn't sleep well last night. It's okay. I'm just gonna, you know, get some good rest tonight. It'll be all good. But it's like, it's so true. Like having those fundamental parts and those routines that you have, like having a good sleep hygiene, you know, having a wind down routine that feels good for you is so important.
Yeah, those were the major things that they were like, these are the things that you need to focus on and you're going to feel this huge difference. And I was like, okay, I'm going to work on that. So it's all been very interesting. This whole like prioritizing feeling good over what I think looks good. So it's an interesting journey.
So everybody stop following whatever fitness Instagrammer, TikTokers you're following. You don't need that shit in your life.
Oh my gosh. There are some amazing accounts out there.
Who do you like? I would love to hear that. Who do you follow?
Man. I got to like pull this up. Yeah. I mean, I love, okay, my girl Marissa Hope. She's amazing. I'm like, there's so many. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Should I email or like give them to you?
Yeah, and we'll tag them.
Yeah,
when
we can post them.
Something?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, who do you like for, like, healthy meals? Because I've also realized that, like, I get really bored when I think I'm eating healthy and then I rebel
I run out of ideas.
Yeah. I'm like, if I eat one more chicken breast,
I'm going to throw up. Right.
Yeah.
Eating bird food. I don't know. She has some good recipes.
It's called eating bird food.
I'm dead serious.
I love that.
Oh my God.
I like her. Okay. So let me get back to you on these.
Yeah. And we'll post them. We'll say Shelly's suggestions. Because
like fitness accounts that are like not crazy diet culture at all.
Yeah.
And then like just some like easy recipes that aren't just like sauteed chicken breast.
Yeah. And is there anything that we didn't touch on because we didn't know the questions to ask that we like skipped that's super important to what you do or the information you're putting out?
I mean, I just want to highlight what you guys do. I think it's so awesome, like what you guys are doing, because honestly, like it's so needed, you know, just as a mom and especially a mom, you know, in the entertainment industry, like having that support that you guys are giving to new moms is so vital because it can feel so alone. And I really think what you guys are doing is huge.
Thanks.
Huge.
We've got some great dad listeners too. So
awesome.
I know that.
That's true too. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. It's so true. Just to like have that support as a new parent, you know, in this industry, because it can feel like, okay, yo, great. You had the baby. You're on your own now,
yeah.
You know, and just having that support, and you guys are hilarious too. So it makes everything feel so much better. Well, bravo for what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Great. And you too. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on again. Yay! And finishing the conversation.
I honestly talked to you guys for so long. Honestly, like if there's more things that come up, I would be honored to.
Well, thank you so much, Shelly.
Thank you.
We'll talk
I had
to
so
you
much
soon.
Fun. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Independent. Athletic. I've been working on my fitness.
Thank you for joining us for Baby in the Wings. You can follow us on Instagram at Baby in the Wings. If you know someone we should have on the show or would like to share your story about being a parent in the arts yourself, please write to us at babyinthewingspod@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. @gmail.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.